There it is. Okay. There we are. Okay. So we're going to begin the last part of our... Oh, did I turn it off? Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. When it gets up there, it's fine. We're going to begin the last part of our Transformed by the Word Love session. And we've done our love for God and His love for us, seeing through the clear glasses, right? Make sure we keep our glasses clean. And then we've talked about loving others, and it's a choice. And the last one we're going to cover is loving ourselves. And the title that I felt the Lord gave me was Learning to Love the Girl in the Mirror. So feel free to eat and drink your tea. And I'm just going to go ahead and start sharing what the Lord has placed on my heart. And this I think this one was more for me than anybody else in the room, because this is something that I, throughout the years, that I've struggled with, you know, because it's so easy to find fault with ourselves, so easy to compare, and, you know, we don't meet the standard of this, and I honestly, I don't really fit into the pastor's wife category. I don't dress like most of them, and, you know, it's just like this whole scenario thing that you go through when you've been, you know, in groups of pastors' wives, and I finally learned, you know what, it's okay. It's okay to be who I am, just like it's okay to be who you are. And one of the things I was sharing with my group when we were talking about one of the things we wanted love to change us with is this was my thing. I want love to change me and to help me to see myself more like God sees me. So it's just let's be real time, right? And there was a saying that I saw in a movie once that just stuck in my head. Not that movies are, you know, everything, but the way that they said it was, why are you trying so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out? Why do we try so hard to be like everybody else? When really God created us to be who we are for a reason. And it's not standing out, so it's standing out, look at me. No. He says that we are a light on a hill. We're supposed to let our light shine before men. How are we supposed to let our light shine if we're trying to match the light of everybody else around us? It's not going to work. If the Lord needed everybody to be Shelley, then the whole world would have Shelleys, right? But that's not what He created. He created Liz and Nicole. We have two Karens today, but they're different, right? And Beverly's and Lacey's and Joni's and Angelina's and Tristan's and Myrna's and Lindsay's and Christina's and Lana's and Joni's and Rose's. We have all of us for a reason. It's the same reason why there are different teacups. Because each one is different, it's unique, and it's special because of those differences. Imagine if these teacups were arguing with each other. Well, how come my handle's not like your handle? Your handle's all dainty. It has this little point on it, and mine's just a round curve. Or, I'm just a normal teacup. I just have an oval. You have scalloped edges. That's kind of silly, right? And yet, that's what we do as women. We look at different people and we say, well, how come her hair's like that? How come she has that body and I have this body? How come she has this and I have this? We do this, and this, and we compare. And in reality, there is nothing to compare. Can I just tell you that? You cannot compare. It's not even apples and oranges. We're talking apples, oranges, bananas, pomegranates, grapes, kiwis. It's endless because there are endless amounts of each of you, right? We're all different for a reason. There's a story, and I wish I could remember. It's Amy something. She was a very famous missionary, but her story touched my heart so deeply. She was born into a family that all had blue eyes and blonde hair. She was born with brown eyes and brown hair. Now talk about feeling like the odd one out, right? And she would pray and pray and pray, Lord, please change my eye color. please change my hair. She lived back in the day before you could change it yourselves, you know, with contacts or product. This was a long time ago, and she kept praying, and it never changed, of course. And then one day, the Lord called her to the mission field, and her mission field was India. And when she got to India, she realized that there was this horrific thing going on with little girls in India that were being stolen and taken to not nice houses to be used. And the Lord put it on her heart to rescue them. And guess what? She could put on the garb the Indian women wear, and she had brown eyes and brown hair, so she did not stand out. She was able for, I think it was like 15 or 16 years, she snuck in and rescued little girl after little girl after little girl after little girl from these places to bring them to an orphanage that she created. All because she had brown eyes and brown hair. So she was able to do it. If she'd had the blonde hair and the blue eyes that she'd wanted, there's no way possible. They would have spotted her a mile away. But because she had what God gave her, she was able to touch a whole generation of girls whose lives would have been completely different had it not been for her. So there is a reason why God made each of us the way that He made us. And we have to stop looking at those around us to see the value of us. And we have to start realizing we are special on purpose. That God has created us, He's molded us, He's shaped us. And just like Esther, you are here for such a time as this. And just like the teacups that you're holding in your hands and that you're using, they're all different. They're all unique. Just like each one of you is different and each one of you is unique. But they have one thing in common, and you know what it is? They're beautiful, and their beauty brings joy. And that's what you all have in common. You are all beautifully and wonderfully created, and you bring joy to your Heavenly Father. Pretty awesome way to think about it, isn't it? Pretty amazing. And each one of the teacups that you have they're very sentimental to me. Most of my teacups were given to me at some point in my life by different people, and I love my teacups. I just do. They're just special to me. But there is one that's really special to me because it's named after me. Well, actually, I guess it was there first. I came later. So I guess, you know, it's a namesake. Let's put it that way. And that's the Shelly teacups. And they are actually cups that are a step above all other teacups. The history on them is that a lot of the teacup factories in England were shut down, and the Shelly was not, because it was made from such fine porcelain, and the design was so popular that it was a revenue that kept going, so they let the Shelly company continue to make teacups even when everyone else was shut down. So pretty amazing story. And so I have teacups on here, and they range from $50 to $300 on this table. Pretty shocking, huh? Want to guess which one's 300? Well, 300, 350. It's this one right here. Yeah, pretty amazing when you stop to think about a teacup. Tea saucer and a cup. Amazing, right? But the coolest thing was, this was given to me by a friend. This one was an inheritance from my grandma. And this one is very special to me because my boys pulled their money together last Christmas. Aww. Yes, to get their mom a teacup. Spent their own money. Wow. I have amazing kids. But I really wanted to tell you about this teacup. Because I was doing research on the Shelly teacups, because it just interests me. I had gone to a garage sale, and I think I shared this before, I got to go to a garage sale in a motorhome, something I've always wanted to do. But while we were on vacation this last summer, there was a garage sale, and I'm like, oh, honey, please, can I just stop at this garage sale? We're in a motorhome. I can say I went to a garage sale in a motorhome. And he's like, of course. And so go to the garage sale. It had two Shelly saucers. And I was like, oh, I bet they're an arm and a leg. And so I went up, I'm like, oh, how much are these? And I added a miscellaneous teacup, but I recognized the pattern as a more expensive one. And I figure I'll just save up and get the saucer later. But I'm like, well, how much do you want for all these? And she's like, oh, 75 cents. I was like, okay, well, I'll take these and I'm gonna look around a little bit. 75 cents for chili saucers. Chili saucers online, just by themselves, they start at $15 to $20. I mean, they're an expensive line. Anyway, so actually, if you see me wearing my gold watch, I got that there too, $1.50 for a quartz watch. I mean, it was a great garage sale, let me just tell you, okay? It pays to go to garage sales in motorhomes. But anyway, I was researching on these saucers and I came across this very in-depth thing on the history of the Shelley teacups. And so, of course, I love Shelley teacups, so I was like, oh, let's find out more about it. So I started reading, and the Shelley teacups actually started with another family. The company actually started under them, and they were called the Folly teacups. And I thought, Folly? Folly? Where have I seen that name before? Folly. So I was reading through, and the original teacup, there was a dispute with the name Folly with another teacup maker. And so Mr. Shelley had already come into that corporation. The dad had died, that was the original one, and the sons were working partners with Shelley. And he was the main resource of the designs and the models and the makes of each of the teacups. And so they said, let's just name him Shelley. Okay, so that's how the Shelley became Shelley instead of Folly. But I kept thinking, I have seen Folly on one of my teacups. Which one is it? So I literally was going through each teacup. I got a lot of teacups. Look at them all on the bottom, you know, digging through boxes. And this teacup has sat in my living room for years, And it's not even one of the ones I went to first. And lo and behold, this is a Folly teacup. So this is actually older and more original than the other three. But you see, I didn't recognize the name. And today, I want to propose to you that part of the reason why we struggle with who we are is we don't recognize our name. We're living in a world of Shelleys, and we don't recognize that we're apart because somewhere along the line, we lost sight of the origin. I'm here to tell you today, even if your name is not Shelley on it, maybe it's Folly, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, but you know what? They all came from the same place. And today, I want to correct your thinking. If you think you're not special, oh yeah, you are. You are so special today, because even though your name and where you came from you may think is different, no, no, no. We all came from one Father who loved every one of us, today. We need to be able to start looking in the mirror and loving that girl in the mirror. Amen? Mirrors and memories. Mirrors are a reflection of what is real. James 1, 23 and 25 says this, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a woman who looks at her face in the mirror and after looking at herself goes away and immediately forgets what she looks like. But the woman who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what she has heard, but doing it, she will be blessed in what she does. See, the problem with mirrors is when you walk away, what you saw is just a memory. We forget what we see, right? No matter how hard you stand there and look at the mirror, when you walk away, you got to ask yourself, that hair that always sticks up, did I get that? You got to go back and look again, right? And you walk away again and put on your shirt and oh, did I mess up my hair? And you got to go back again, right? You're in the kitchen getting ready for breakfast and you've already done all your makeup and everything and you take a drink of coffee and it spills. What did that do to my makeup? I got to go back to the mirror again, right? And then we get all completely ready. We're about ready to head out the door And for those of you who are smart like me, you have a mirror by the door. You gotta look one more time, right? To make sure everything's in place, right? But then we walk away and we forget. We forget. Because mirrors are memory. It's just something we've seen and we've walked away from. The Bible tells us that we need to look intently into the right mirror. The right mirror. That mirror is your word. Because if we look into that word, what does it say? It says, if you look intently into the perfect law, that gives you what? Freedom. What do we want more than anything else? Freedom to just be us, right? Just to be who God's created us to be, with all of our uniqueness and all of our beautiful things about us. We need to be looking into God's word every single day to see what does that mirror say about us, because that mirror will last. Even if you look at the mirror and you walk away and you can't remember if you did that thing right with your hair, if you're looking into the mirror of his word and you walk away and a thought comes that says, they're going to totally razz you about what you wear today. They're going to totally make fun of you about your hair. Someone's going to make a comment about something. You can walk away and go, no. I'm beautifully and wonderfully created. No. I'm a daughter of the Most High. I'm joint heirs with Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Even if they say something against me, I can hold my head up high and I can love them right back. Do you see what happens? You've looked into this mirror of the word and it's gone into you and it's begun changing you. That's where our freedom is going to come, is from his word. It sets us free. It's like the butterfly. A butterfly has to be in the sunlight in order to be able to fly. You need to be in the sun's light and letting it warm your heart so that when you go out in the world, you can soar the heights that you want to soar. You'll be free to do that. Nothing holding you back. So we need to love the girl in the mirror, but we need to make sure we're looking intently into the right mirror. How many people know mirrors can change? They got those ones, you know, that, what do they call them? They used to have them at the funhouse mirrors. Yeah, the ones that are like, whoop. So like, you're like short and tall. We laugh and we look funny, but here's the scary thing. Some of us see ourselves like that. Sometimes I've looked in the past and you don't see what you see there. You see what you remember of something someone said or something someone did or a comment they made. You know, you're not the kind of girl that any of us guys would want to date. You're just the kind we'd like to marry. Well, how are you going to marry me if you don't date me? You know what I mean? Little words that come into our minds and our hearts that warp the mirror. So we're not really seeing who we truly are. And then you have mirrors that are like the ones we talked about last night, that are like the ones in the state parks that are metal, right? And they're all warped again. It's not really a true picture of who we are, but we've let something in our life let us see our mirror through that. Or then there's the ones that are the magnifying glass ones. The ones that show you where every hair and pimple and out of place thing and divot, and you know what the problem about those is? You're spending so much time looking so closely at yourself, you can't even see yourself. All you're seeing is little pieces of you. All you're seeing is the parts that are not perfect. You're not seeing the great picture of who you really are, because you're so concentrated on the things that are not right about you. That's why it's important that we're really careful about the kinds of mirrors that we're looking into to see who we are. We need to only be looking at the mirror of God's, oh, you silly little fly, the mirror of God's word. That's going to tell you who you truly are in your life. Truly is the word of God. our memories. Memories are, they can work for us or they can work against us. Like I said, you can have things that someone said out of anger. Someone nice, but they said something and it really hurts you deeply. And so all you see is through the eyes of that memory. I saw this illustration one time of this very handsome man, super handsome. But when you saw what he saw of himself, it was the nerd in freshman year that wore glasses and had braces, and that's how he still saw himself. And yet he's gorgeous. But how many of us are our memories of what we used to be, or maybe something that someone said about us? That's how we see ourselves. We don't see what we've become. We don't see what God has done. All we see is that memory, that person that was rejected, maybe that person that was not in the in crowd, maybe that person that was passed over. And that's the memory we carry. We don't carry the fact that you're beautiful now. You're loved. You're an amazing person. God has totally taken you to a different level, but you don't see that because you've let a memory or a mirror interfere with who you really are. We've got to reach the point where we say to our memories, like it says in the Bible, putting the past behind me, I press on. When you put your hand to the plow, you don't look back. You know what happens, especially in the old days with their plows? If they looked back, even for a second, there was obviously there's harm that could happen because the oxen or whatever they are going at a very good clip. They could swerve out of line of the rows, which gets them knocked off balance. Their oxen could wander off. It's a mess if you look back when you're plowing. It's important that you keep your eyes focused so you can keep everything going straight ahead. So that's why it says, once you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. So girls, once you put your hand to the day and you begin your day, don't look back to find out who you are. Look ahead. Look at what God is doing in your life. Look at what he's already done, what he has already completed, who you are in him. So we don't want to let mirrors or memories hold us back from what God has for us. It says this in James 1, 23 and 25. If we want to have freedom, we have to look intently, on purpose, truly looking into the word to see who we are. So we have mirrors and memories that we have to be careful. And then the next part, we need to remember and treasure. Remember and treasure. I'm going to start with treasure. Discovering the treasure that you are. I didn't know I had 4 Shelly teacups until I discovered the treasure that was in my house. But I didn't discover that treasure until I looked at the history, right? And that's when I realized, oh, I've had this treasure all along. It's been there all along, right? That's what the Word of God does for us. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. It says, but you are a chosen treasure. We could just stop right there and be done with the whole day, right? Oh, it's 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen treasure. Say that. I am a chosen treasure. Listen to that. Let's say it again. I am a chosen treasure. That's the Word of God speaking to you. So when you're reading the Word of God, all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm a chosen treasure. Just like the teacup figuring it out. Oh my goodness. I matter. I'm important to God. This is amazing. Thank you, Lord. And then it continues on and he says, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. Stop and think about that. He claims you as his very own. God, the one who created the whole universe. If someone tells you God doesn't care about you, oh, no, no, no. You can't convince me because I've read the words. It says he claims me as his very own. How many people have been abandoned before? How many people have ever been pushed aside? How many people have ever had hurts or pains from people? Guess what? God's here today to tell you, I don't care if they don't choose you. I choose you. I choose you today. I chose you. You are my treasure. Just as I treasure my teacups, God's saying, I treasure each one of you. You are valuable to me. I love each one of you. It's like I set my teacups to have them out and admire them. I love looking at them. It's a joy to me. That's the same joy your father feels when he sees you. Calls all the angels over, look at my girl. Look at her. Look at her. Yeah, she's mine. I chose her. She's my very own. He's thinking that about every one of us today. Each one of us is special to him, is important to him, is treasured to him. Remember who you are. There's a story of Queen Elizabeth. She kind of had a rough life to begin with. She was in the home of her mom, who was kind of a controlling person. She came of age at 18, and very shortly after that, her uncle died, and she became Queen of England. But all along, the story goes that her maid kept telling her throughout everything in her life, no matter what happened with her mom or the people around her, she kept telling her, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. She was getting ready to go in to see her parliament for the first time, and she was nervous and she was afraid, and her servant stopped her and looked her in the eye and said, look at me. Remember who you are. She got a little taller, a little straighter, walked in remembering who she was. Who was she? She was the Queen of England. Those people in that room served her, not the other way around. She was ruler of a whole nation at 18. 18. I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't matter what people say or don't say. It doesn't matter who's in that room or who's not in that room. When you walk out of your house, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And if you don't know who you are, I have these great little things for you today. There's not 10, it's not 12, it's not 20, it's not 30. There are 90 scriptural references to who you are in God. When you start to feel like you don't matter, like you're inferior, like you have to give yourself and sell yourself short, maybe take the second fiddle because that's what you just have always done. Maybe let people walk over you. I'm here to tell you today, you need to remember who you are. You are a daughter of God Most High, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So you're not just a daughter, you are a princess. You are a princess that he has given authority to here on earth to make the difference. That's the authority you have. But you see, the enemy, he does this thing and he messes with our minds as women. And he beats us down most of the time by our own thoughts or our own confessions or our own words about who we see ourselves as. He makes us think that this is all us. It's not all us. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy because he realizes if we ever get a hold of this, if we ever truly understand who we are in Christ, battle over. He's lost. He's done. If we let the enemy tell us who we are and we believe him, then there are lives at stake. Do you realize that? There are lives at stake. If we don't become who God has called us to be and do what he has called us to do, there are lives that will go untouched. There are people's lives that will continue on the path they're on if you don't stand up and become who God has called you to be. Because it's not just about us. It's about who God wants to touch through us. We need to remember who we are. What if I let the feelings of insecurity, what if I let the not feeling like I was like other pastors' wives stop me? What if I did that? So then there would never be a women's conference. There would never be a prayer email. There would never be worship songs. There would not be Redeemed Church. If I let that happen. Do you see the effects that our lives have? You know, I look at Nicole. I'm sorry, I'm not going to embarrass you. But Nicole had a dream 3.5 years ago to be a counselor. And we sat over lunch and she shared her heart. And it looked big. It looked overwhelming to get there, you know. But we prayed and we believed. And now you're right where God wants you to be, because there's people's lives you will touch that were meant to cross your path, that you were meant to speak into, to share what they needed to hear to be set free. That's not an accident. That's it on purpose, because you chose to say, I'm going to trust what God's calling me to do more than what I feel, more than what I know, more than what my family says, more than what my friends say, more than what looks like an obstacle. I choose to rise up and be what God's called me to be. Christina, you opened up your home to children. Some people might say, but you're just a daycare worker. No. No. Every child that walks into your home, I know you. They're loved. You give the love that they need to feel. You reach out, you touch, and you change lives. A little girl who said to her mom, Mom, can I have a Bible so that I can keep doing what Christina does at her home? That's a seed you planted. It's something you touched a child's life. And if it's only one person, do you understand how impactful this is? There was one man who held a tent revival in a city. And there were four boys that walked in, rowdy, ornery boys that walked in. But you know what one of those boys was? Billy Graham. What if that man had never had that tent revival? What if Billy Graham had never gotten saved? What if he had never preached to the world? Do you understand the impact? Karen, what Myrna's been sharing all weekend about your sacrifice of loving your friend so much that you're willing to serve. Some people might say it's one life. Oh, no, no. You've touched a life in such a dramatic way. No words can express her thanks. She's been thanking you since the moment she got here, sharing. But you see what I'm saying? It's that reaching out, doing what God has put on your heart to do. We've got to stop looking at the things in our life as insignificant. You're not insignificant, and the lives that you touch are not insignificant. If it's only ever one, you touch that one with everything in you. We don't need to wait for the bigness. We need to start doing right now what God has called us to do, to be encouragers, to be lovers, to reach out, to set people free. For those of you who are moms in this room, the treasures that God has placed into our hands, you need to treasure them. I know there's days that it can be rough. I know there's days that it can be hard. But you know what? That is who God has placed in your hands to make a difference. And in those moments when you feel like it's too hard, I can't do this, I don't have the answers. Girl, go back and remind yourself who you are. All my children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of my children. Devil, you are not messing with my kid. You take your hands off my child. You start speaking to whatever it is that that mountain looks like in their lives, and you start calling it what it is. No, I speak their mountain, and you be removed from their life. And you believe, and you stand, and you persevere until that thing is gone. And it will be. If you remember who you are. But if you don't see clearly, if your glasses are all fogged and God is this person that you don't really know if he even cares about you, then how are you going to believe for your child? How are you going to believe for your friend? How are you going to believe for your coworker? You have to know that God is love. All the things that we talked about. And then you have to know for yourself that in you is the ability to love, because it's a choice. And then when it comes down to it, when you wake up in the morning and you look at the girl in the mirror, you got to start doing like I'm doing. I love you. I know you're not perfect, but I love you. Because if we can learn to love ourselves, not in a weird way, but so often the world has made it feel like it's a weird thing to say that you love yourself. We should love ourselves, because you know what the Bible says? We're supposed to love others as we love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, how in the world are we supposed to love others? So you need to be getting up in the morning and look at that girl in the mirror and say, I love you. You can do it today. You're more than a conqueror. You are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You are a daughter of the Most High, and you're going to be a conqueror today. You're going to move mountains. You're going to shake the enemy up and get him out. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you see why it's so important that we know our Heavenly Father's love, that we understand how we love others, but we have to learn to love what's in the mirror? Now, that doesn't mean you can't make changes, because there are some things about Shelley that needs to be corrected. But I'm working on those. You have to be willing to admit, okay, Lord, I need some help in this area. But can I tell you something? When God brings correction to your life, he doesn't walk in and say, you are the worst mom in the whole world. Fix it. What are you supposed to fix? That's condemnation. Let me just call it what it is. That's condemnation. Condemnation over here is always generalized. When God brings correction, he says this. You have lost your temper with your children too much this week. You need to apologize to them, and you and I need some alone time. Do you see how easy that is? I know what the problem is. I have not been treating my kids correctly. So I got to go back and apologize, and I got to fix this. God's always specific. Always. He does not deal in generalizations. When you look at the children of God and the children of Israel throughout the Bible, he's specific. Remember this point when Moses, you struck this rock. I mean, he nails it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If there's something you need to deal with, he will tell you the specific, and you deal with that. Because God understands, we couldn't handle if he just cut us open. It would be too much. We'd all be basket cases, crying. So we're like little onions, and he just peels off one layer at a time, until finally, what's truly inside is free. Amen? So I'm not saying we don't want to change. We always want to be moldable, teachable, changeable. But I am saying this word does not change. This is the one you stick with. This is the one you hold on to and you don't let go. Amen? This is the one you can take and you can look in the mirror and you can say every one of these things to yourself in the mirror. In fact, I dare you. I dare you to do it. Every day for a week, say all 90 of these. You're going to love yourself after that? You've been looking at yourself long enough to say 90 things in the mirror. You're going to love that girl in the mirror. But it's all about remembering who we are and knowing we're treasured. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. Things that happen in your life, God is going to work those all together for good. All of it. Just let him do it. And that's the key. Letting him do it. Letting yourself open up and trust him to heal you. Because he's got big plans. These are the last days, and he is looking for women who are willing to recognize who they are in him and realize their potential and their power to change things. And he's just waiting, waiting, waiting. I say Redeemed Church starts it. I say Redeemed Church women, we raise our hands and we say, look no further. So I told the Lord about 25 years ago. I said, you know what, Lord? It says in your word that you looked back and forth for someone to stand in the gap and you couldn't find anybody. And I told him, I'll be that. I'll be a gap girl. In London, when you get on their railroads, underground railroads, it says this over and over again, mind the gap. Mind the gap. It means watch your step because there's a gap. But that's what the Lord is looking for today. Who can I find that will mind the gap? Who will stand in the middle and help to save our world? I don't know about you, but I'm willing and I'm ready to let the things in the past go. I'm ready to stop looking in warped mirrors. I'm ready to let the memories go, let the things that are in the past stay in the past, and move forward with Jesus. And I want to remember who I am, a treasured daughter of the Most High, and I want to change the world around me. That's all God's asking. Some of us he might ask to go around the world, but most of us he's just saying, just touch the lives I've given you, which starts in your home, then your family, then your neighborhood, then your city, your church, you see how it goes out and out, but it all starts with right here. Are you loving your family? Are you protecting them? Remember that tarp covering? Are they all covered? Are you praying over them? Are you protecting them every day? Just do with what he's got given you right there in front of you. And before you know it, who knows? Maybe one of you in this room will touch the next Billy Graham and change our world. All because you dared to love. And that's what it's all about, being transformed by love. God wants to transform our lives. As you go home this weekend, I just encourage you, just spend some quiet time. You know, I know as life gets busy, 10 minutes. You'd be amazed at what you can hear from the Lord in 10 minutes. Just being you and him. If you can spend longer, that's even better. But as you're driving home, most of you will be in the car by yourself. Let the Lord speak with you. Turn off your radio. Just say, Lord, is there anything else I need to know? Is there something you want to speak to me? He will speak to you. It's that still, quiet voice inside of you. And just let the Lord's love just saturate your heart as you go forward from here. Because the transformation from a caterpillar to a butterfly doesn't happen overnight. It's time. There's a time frame. So God has begun something in you today that in time we're going to look at you and go, oh, look at that beautiful butterfly. Isn't she beautiful? She's free and she's flying for Jesus. Amen? Whew. Good God we serve. He loves us. I hope it's okay that I'm real, but I just felt like you need to know it's not just you that might be going through this. We all have things we deal with, but we don't want to let those things hold us back from what God has. Amen? So I encourage you, go home, read through these if you want to take the dare. Once a day for a week, read all 90 of them to yourself in the mirror And let me know if you love that girl even more. Amen? Thank you guys so much for coming to the conference, and just be praying for next year. I've got such a stirring in my heart for God to not only be here every time we meet, but for more women to come in. I think there's a lot of hurting people out there that need to hear that they can be transformed. They aren't stuck where they are. That God can mold them and make them and set them free. Amen. So be praying. And I know we did the offering last night. Thanks to everybody who gave. And if throughout the year you want to give to that, we always pay ahead. So everything from this year will go into next year. So if you want to give offerings throughout the year, that's totally fine. We have a fund that's set aside for that. But be praying, be believing for next year, for God to show you if there's someone that you're supposed to bring with you, you know, or someone you want to invite, so that we can have even more people touched by God. Amen? And I'm just excited about what God is doing. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this time we've been able to be together to have the fellowship and the worship. And I just thank you, Lord, for the good food and that the orders were all right. Man, how many times has that happened? Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for the treats and just feeling treasured, Father, and just for the prizes and the presents. God, that really is your heart. That's what I felt, is you wanted your girls to know that you're ready to shower them with so many blessings just because they're your daughters. And just because you love them, not for anything that they've done, but just because you love them as their dad. And that's my heart, Father, is that every woman in this room would leave feeling loved, feeling your presence around her. That's not going to go away. When she wakes up tomorrow morning, it's still going to be there. All of a sudden, there's going to be this completeness in her, where maybe there was something lacking, something missing. She's going to wake up feeling complete. And that's because your love is going to so overwhelm her heart that all the other loves in her life, she's not going to be dependent on those, Lord. They're just going to be the icing on the cake, because she's going to be so full of you. Bless every one of these women, Father. They're so important to me. And they're such a blessing to my life. And I just pray, Lord, you would bless each one of them as they go home. Let the kids behave. Let the animals at home behave. And let there just be just a blessed night, just filled with peace and rest. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, that you showed up. Thank you, Father, for showing up and being here with us. Just like we learned last night, your response to us is, I come to be with you. And we thank you for being with us. Bless each person as they drive home. Protect them, watch over them, keep them safe. And we just thank you, Father, that next year is going to be even more powerful. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.